Hello everyone. Good morning, good evening and good afternoon. I'm your host, Francesca Pinillo, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Verimed Stories podcast. In this week's episode, we are continuing with our Meet the Verimed Leadership mini-series. So today I have with me Stuart Maguire, who is our Chief Business Officer and Environmental Ambassador, and he's going to talk us through how he got into the pharma industry, his role at Verimed, and his passion for the environment. So, welcome Stuart, and thank you very, very much for joining me on this episode today. How are you doing?
Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, absolutely delighted to be here. So, yeah, thank you for the invite.
I think this is maybe your third or fourth time on the podcast.
Goodness. Well, I hope people aren't too bored of the sound of my voice.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. How has your week been? Have you been quite busy so far?
Yeah, I've just come off the back of a little bit of travel and being passionate about the environment. I've been really trying to maximize the trip, so getting as many meetings in as possible when I fly, and that does cause quite a lot of logistical tiredness. Is eat when you can, sleep when you can. But yeah, yep. been back a little bit and just following up from that.
Where is it you went to?
I was in Boston in the US.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, nice city. So, and just the biotech and pharma industry is just so vibrant over there. It's just a really very, very impressive cluster.
Oh, I can imagine. And being in like New York would have been pretty epic as well.
Yeah. It was good.
Did you manage to get much of like sightseeing done?
No. And I think that's one of the things that probably people always think that it's seeing the sights and getting around, but normally it's hotel rooms, the inside of a conference hall, sometimes some nice restaurants. I won't deny that. try to make the most of it.
No, that sounds good. So before I go into some other conversation, we will get into what our topic is of today's episode. So yeah, I think it'd just be interesting for us to hear a little bit how you got into the industry and what your background is.
Sure. So I did a chemistry degree at the University of Surrey. And what that taught me was that I really didn't want to be in a laboratory. I did a placement year, like many do, and I worked in a petrochemical lab. And I have to say, I really enjoyed that year, but I also really enjoyed finishing that year. And I found that quite challenging. But the work that I did in the petrochemical side, some of the assay stuff, took me to working on malaria. And I went over to Africa after my degree and worked on an assay for artemisinin, which is an anti-malarial grown in the foothills of Kilimanjaro. So I went over and did that after my degree. And that really gave me a very basic understanding of the pharma industry. Just really gave me just a sort of a pocket understanding, and really gave me sort of the appetite to learn more and get into the industry.
That's really cool. Yeah, I had no idea that your background was in chemistry. I don't know why I don't see you as a chemist.
There are pictures out there of me in a lab coat. I look a complete fraud, but yes, I did my lab time.
And how much time did you spend over, I forget where you said you went?
Yeah, it was in a little village called Moshi, just in the foothills of Kilimanjaro, which is absolutely stunning. Kilimanjaro spends most of its time with clouds over it, and every now and again it opens up and reveals, and it is just absolutely magical. So I worked on that project for 2 years after my degree. I was going back and forth working with a team next to the School of Tropical Medicine and the Kilimanjaro Christian Medical Center, which was over there. So it's going back and forth and helping them set the assay up. It was really interesting.
So is this part of like an academic research type thing?
Yeah, I wish I could say it was more structured, but it wasn't. It was actually really, I think, much like a biotech company is now, really sort of flying by the seat of the of its pants, and very agile. Just some really good funding that had come through, some entrepreneurs and DFID and some government funding, and some absolutely phenomenal people, some great expertise, but it wasn't as structured as what you probably see in a big pharma company.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I was in academia for quite a long time after uni, and yeah, structure is not a thing.
Exciting
that,
though.
It is definitely exciting. But that kind of makes me then wonder, like, how you really got into pharma, like from that sort of research. Like, I know you said you had like a kind of touch point in, but then how did that bring you like into the CRO world and into like the industry that you're in now?
Sure. So I like most people, was browsing through The New Scientist, which was back then a magazine. I think it's probably online now. But yeah, browsing through, and I saw this tiny little article for this clinical research organization called Chiltern. And I actually had to work out what a CRO was. Mm-hmm. I had a friend of mine who was in the industry, and I remember speaking with her, and she gave me some real good tips on what regulatory was, what clinical was, what biometrics was. And I went along to this interview at Chiltern and met with a gentleman by the name of Frank Garnham, who many will know in the industry. And he had asked me really what my passions were, what my experience was. And his grandfather was one of the big experts in malaria and had helped map malaria through the system. So we ended up, as you do sometimes, having an interview, but actually having a really good conversation. Yeah. And I kind of knew it was going well because he asked me, could I start in the following week? And I started as a junior business development executive. So right at the very bottom of the BD ladder. And yeah, it was just an amazing opportunity. Company was just about sort of 230 people or so. We had quite a nice European footing, but we're still very, very small, and an exciting place to start my career.
Yeah, I think that's always good when you go somewhere and you're able to establish a bond, you know, and have those things that you have in common. Like, I think that's a really good place to build from, no matter like what industry you're in or what you're interested in. It's always good to, I think, just with people in general, it's nice having things that are in common.
Indeed. And the really interesting thing was, because I just still fairly fresh out of uni, I'd worked on the malaria side, but still fairly new in my career. And the great thing about Chiltern, which is also a great thing about Veramed, is they had a very strong graduate training program. So it was absolutely bustling with people really looking to sort of galvanize their career, grow in their career. And there's a really nice vibe within both businesses, actually.
No, it does. It sounds amazing. And a question I have is, given you were like in the lab, in the chemist, like out in the field pretty much, what was like the turning point to go into like the business development side, you know, rather going down like a statsy route or like the clinical trial or like stereotypical clinical trial, be it a programmer or not? Like, why did you go down the business development side? Was it just the opportunity at the time, or is that where you did see yourself going?
One of the things that I really noticed both in the lab and in my African experience and was people don't always talk to each other. And I found that I had, I guess if I was to call that a skill set, it's I have the ability to introduce, connect, network, and get people talking. And I especially noticed this when I was working in Africa. There was lots of people doing similar sort of things, and I was like, why don't you just collaborate on this? You know, this is obvious to me, and it just seemed obvious. And then In the early part of my Chiltern business development, it became clear that actually just picking up the phone, speaking to people, wasn't as scary as it sounds to a lot of people. And the industry has always been phenomenal in that people are generally very nice, very kind, will give you their time. And actually, when you explain what you're trying to achieve, what you're trying to do, they'll either say, thank you very much, we're busy, we've got something else going on, or actually, I'll give you an hour of my time. And, you know, the early part of my career around the sort of 2000s, people gave me a lot of their time, which has been phenomenal. And actually, some of the people that I met with back in 2000, 2001, 2002, I'm still connected with, I'm still talking with, we're still, you know, discussing business. It's, you know, and that's what connections are about.
Yeah, it is. It's really important being able to establish those relationships, but also to hold on to them and develop them over time. Because as you know, like when you start off, your values are different, your view on things is different, and that all changes. Like the older you get and the more expertise that you bring in and the more you just understand about the world, and you can essentially just everyone develop together, which I think is really nice, and you just all bring each other with you.
Yes,
on that,
indeed.
On that journey.
Exactly. And I think you're hitting right on the right word. It's a journey. And you know, it's sort of different stages. If your sort of passion and enthusiasm is visible, then that can be quite infectious and people want to come along for that journey. One thing that I always sort of task myself with or challenge myself with is just to make sure that I am still passionate, I am still focused, because the older you get, you can lose it a little bit. You can become a little bit more cynical. So trying to keep that to the side and keep the passion and enthusiasm.
Oh, I love that. And is that like what your main role at Verimed is then? Like, as I introduced you, Chief Business Officer, and are these like the main skills that you need to use in your day-to-day work? You know, having that passion, that enthusiasm, but, you know, being able to talk to people.
Yeah, I think the real skill in business development is being able to listen and just, you know, clearly you need to be able to articulate yourself and be able to communicate and reach out. But when it comes to the crunch points, I love that phrase, you know, I've given somebody a really good listening to, and actually just allowing people to share, whether it be a protocol or a project or a development plan, really try to understand what's trying to be achieved, pick out those key points, and make sure that I get those experts, people with the right understanding in front and working. So actually more being like a sort of a conduit for what's trying to be achieved. I'd say that it's like the baseline. And then as you kind of like work within the organization, work with partnerships around the organization, really trying to get the very best you can out of a project, a scenario, whatever it is you're working on.
Yeah, and I think that's important what you said about being able to listen, because if you're, you know, trying to pitch an idea to whatever business it may be, and it's this is what we can do for you, this is all the stuff we have. But as you said, it's actually important to listen to what they need.
Yes.
And then we can decide and come up with a solution to best fit that need. And that's where the listening comes in.
100%. I was part of the Chiltern leadership team when we came up with the tagline designed around you. And for us, that really had meaning that you listened and you tailored something absolutely bespoke to that client. And I think, you know, and it's also what Verimed is really looking to achieve, is getting that flexibility, that understanding, while you also have a framework of technical regulatory structure in place, but really trying to do everything you can to make it absolutely aligned with the goals and the visions which that they're trying to achieve. And that takes a lot of listening.
I can imagine. And like from when we've spoken before, like I know you said you've worked at Chilton, which you said about 250 odd people at the time.
Yeah.
And then Verimed are kind of catching up on that. But then I know you've worked for, is it LabCorp? Is that right?
Sure. Yeah, yes.
Which are obviously a very big company. So how do you find the differences between, you know, working for different sized companies?
Yeah, so I should say, so when I joined Chilton in 2000, we're about 230 people. And then through organic growth globally, through some light acquisition, we got to over 5,000 people when we were acquired by LabCorp Covance. And that was, you know, just an amazing journey. Worked with some phenomenal people across the industry. Covance, LabCorp, I think it's Fortrea now, have the most amazing offering from phase one, preclinical, all the way through to post-marketing and the lab. Just an absolutely tremendous offering. When I worked there for 2 years on the biotech sector and then joined Verimed, again, very much in a sort of a growing space. And really trying to do something special, do something different at Verimed. And I think you're probably aware that I joined the leadership team at Verimed, and I pitched this crazy idea of us becoming B Corp accredited. And there weren't any other CROs at the time with the accreditation. And I remember being in one of the board meetings and, you know, everybody sort of, you know, scratching their head, looking at me. And I remember Matt Jones, our CEO, just saying, actually, it really sounds like the right thing to do. I can really see this. And I think you'll probably attest to this, that the beehives and the framework and the cross-company initiatives that we have within the organization.
Yeah.
We have people all across the business and some of the best ideas from the four corners of Verimed coming through into that B Corp structure. And I think we genuinely have something very, very special and very different here.
Definitely. And we've actually got a full episode on all the environmental initiatives that we do at Verimed. Yeah, so that'll be out when this episode is out. So at least people will have an understanding of all the different initiatives that we have. But it's funny, like the B Corp, because we have that at our company, I notice it in different places now. So I was drinking like a bottle of Evian, just fancy some mineral water. And I was just like, you know, reading the package as you do. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's B Corp. I know what B Corp is. And I was like, Mum, we're a B Corp company as well. And she was like, I have never noticed that before. But then I was able to then tell her about what it means, you know, what it brings to the company, all the benefits it has, and all the different things that, you know, we do within Verimed. So I think a lot of time, all it takes is for people to talk to one another, and it's that communication as well. Because if it wasn't for you bringing that into us, I would have just looked at that and wouldn't have, you know, sparked an interest. I probably wouldn't have realized what it was. Whereas because of everything we do at Verimed, us as employees, colleagues, we're able to see that now wherever we go in different places and know that we are part of that really great initiative.
I am absolutely convinced that all the best ideas within a company are not in the leadership team. Some are, you know, there's one or two, but the best ideas are within the business, and giving people the channels, the ability to air those, debate them, discuss them, and have them flow up. I mean, I think we had, was it the vegan day, which was absolutely brilliant. And, you know, for somebody like me, just to go, okay, this is quite challenging, but I can do this, I can get onto this, and, you know, really, really inspiring. So, yeah.
Yeah, and we do different things now. Like, we'll share recipes, we'll share them in the newsletter, we'll have like different tips and things in the newsletter. So I just think it's really nice because it gives everyone like no pressure either, that you can do this in your own time. You can dabble in different things that interest you, and then you never know where your new passion will arise from.
Exactly. Well, I know you're going to have this other episode, but And I know carbon offsetting is the last thing that should be done. You know, we should do all the other initiatives and live our lives. But carbon offsetting, you know, where we are at the moment in the world, and this sort of goes back to my time in Africa, actually leaving this earth in a way hopefully better than how we found it. And that is the real challenge at the moment. And I think that's a sort of a tough thing that we're all grappling with.
And is that what kind of started, or where your passion for the environment stemmed from, was your time in Africa? Or is it something that you enjoyed as a child? Like where did that stem from?
Yeah, I guess I've always been very aware of it. I think it's really come, really illuminated to me with having children.
Oh, okay.
So my daughters really hold me accountable, and it just makes you think all the time. And actually, you know, being in the environmental beehive, there's been, you know, constantly being challenged. But yeah, that certainly is something that holds me, you know, makes me think a lot. Also, I think people listening to this might be aware that I'm very passionate about wine as well. I did some wine tasting during the pandemic online at Verimed, which was good fun. But the I've got this WSET level 3 wine diploma. And one of the things you cannot escape is that harvests are getting earlier and earlier, and wine is changing because climate is changing. And for people who are uncertain of that, there is a huge amount of data out there, and you know, you just can't escape that. So looking at sort of actual visual things, that's very evident. And the fact that we're actually producing some really good wine here in the UK is probably as a result of that too. So
maybe not a good thing.
exactly.
No, that is really excellent. And I know with like the business development and all the different things that we have at Verimed, I know we've discussed before that you want to do something different, you know, be more inspiring. And we've discussed about allowing like the youth and talent and bringing them through Verimed and ensuring that they can develop their career. How does that fit in with like the business development side rather than like recruitment, if that makes sense?
Yeah, 100%. I think our industry is, I think that the hardest thing about our industry is getting into it. So I'm really, really glad that a lot of these podcasts explore ways and channels to get into this amazing business. And it is an amazing business. And we should not forget that we are all doing this because there is a patient that is going to benefit from the work we do, whether it's peer review of some coding, whether it's doing some QA or doing some of the most, you know, mundane tasks ever. The result is that there are therapies that are being developed that mean a huge amount to individuals, families and communities. And that's why I'm in this industry. So getting into it is the hardest part. And that's why I love that we've got an amazing graduate training program. We take really bright people and bring them into the organization. For me, our industry is also very tight knit. People can see the talent going into an organization, and that is a very attractive thing. So when I say about doing the best thing, it's really about us doing the right thing, having the best talent available, and our clients will see that with the quality of work that they get. And then I know in business development, and most BD people, you know, are very aware of this, is that you're only as good as your last project. So every time we do something at Verimed, it is an advert. So we really always need to be, you know, sort of top of our game, because that's the best business development there is.
Yep. Absolutely. Definitely. Well, thank you very much for joining me on today's episode. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you. Me too. Really cool.
Really cool. So yeah, thank you everyone for listening to today's episode. If you would like to be notified for any future ones, please subscribe to us on Spotify, iTunes, or whichever podcast platform you're using. If you would like to know more about Vermed, please visit our website at vermed.co.uk, or you can find us on LinkedIn. If you have any questions about Vermed or about business development, please feel free to reach out to myself on LinkedIn or Stuart as well. We're both there. We're always happy to help. You can always find us on YouTube and Instagram at We Are Vermed. So yeah, thank you all for listening, and until next time, see you later.
Thank you very much.